This is the Secret Life of Mold podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret Life of Mold podcast. I'm your host, Craig Cooper. And today, Mike Marshall, who is the COO of Mold Inspection Sciences Texas, is joining me again as my co-host. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Craig. As always, super excited to get the email that I'm going to be on the Secret Life of Mold podcast once again. I get so excited to be on the show with you. So thanks for having me. And I'm really excited to be here this time because I have a really good friend of mine with me. He is the indoor air quality expert. He's out of Dallas, Texas. His name is Michael McNatt. And we're going to be discussing today how mold impacts indoor air quality. So super excited. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I'm excited as well. I can't wait to get into this topic and really dive deep into the complexities of mold and mycotoxins specifically.
Yeah, me too, Craig. We've had the pleasure of working with IAQM, which is Indoor Air Quality Management, for over 15 years now. They're out of Dallas. And, you know, they're experts in all things related to indoor air quality. Don and Katie up there have been in the industry for a long time. And today we're going to focus on the mycotoxin side. Mycotoxins are caused by mold, and we all know they can greatly impact human health. And the clients reaching out to us every day for help, they need to know about these things as well. So Michael is indoor air quality management subject matter expert. He's done the research, and like, honestly, I think we could just talk to him for days and days about all the things related to indoor air quality, but this is one of his specialties. So really excited to share all this information with your listeners. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, Mike and Craig, thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate the invite. We have a lot of great information to share about mycotoxins and other important questions I run across often in the industry.
Well, Michael, how did you begin your career in this field and why are you so passionate about this topic?
Well, I got started in the mold remediation industry specifically about 12 years ago when I founded a company called RestoPros. That company was one of the first companies in Dallas-Fort Worth area that was dedicated 100% to doing mold remediation instead of providing a lot of environmental services like water damage, dry outs, et cetera. And the more we worked specifically with mold clients, the more we came across customers who were suffering from environmentally acquired illnesses, often initially triggered by exposure to mold. So the more I ran across these situations and the struggles that these folks were facing, the more it became my passion to do anything and everything we could to help them out. So about a year and a half ago, I sold my interest in RestoPros to join who at that time was my largest competitor, IAQM, with Don Verana. I had met with him on a couple occasions, and we found that we had the same passion for helping people with mold exposure issues. So we decided to join forces and try to take things to the next level.
Awesome. Great. Thanks for sharing that with us, Mike. I know that IAQM provides a comprehensive list of services. We've used you guys for many, many years. But why don't you share with our listeners what all you guys do and what are the services that you guys provide?
Well, the IAQM offerings are all related around four core areas. Those are to first identify what the problem is in the environment. So IAQM has access to resources that can test for all types of things, not just molds and mycotoxins, but also volatile organic compounds and other chemicals. Gaseous contaminants that can come into the indoor environment. And then once the problem has been successfully identified, then it goes to the correction phase, which would include things like mold remediation, volatile organic compound correction, and being able to decontaminate from mycotoxins so that people can go back into their homes and not have the reactions that they were having before. Once the problem's been corrected, then we get into preventative measures, and those include things like crawl space encapsulation, managing positive and negative air pressure to keep contaminants from coming into the home, and then advanced filtration up to and including whole home filtration systems that remove harmful particles, gaseous contaminants, molecular sized contaminants, et cetera. And then beyond that, but goes into the monitoring phase where IAQM offers a range of services where they can come out and do visual inspections on a home and crawl space once a year and conduct air quality testing on an ongoing basis to make sure that once a problem is corrected and preventative measures are put in place, that those preventative measures are doing what they're supposed to do, and we completely eliminate the potential for future issues.
Well, Michael, you clearly provide a high level of service in regards to indoor air quality management and making improvements. Our clients, Mike, can attest to this. Of course, they're concerned about mold, but there are also many other indoor air quality issues and concerns that come up in our service as well. So it's a complex field. You guys provide a high level of not only the assessing of the overall indoor air quality conditions, but also providing the public with options and ways of improving the indoor air quality. So I like to hear that you have a very broad scope. Let's go ahead and just dive right into the complex topic of mycotoxins. A lot of people really don't even know what mycotoxins are. And that's one of the goals today, is to kind of educate our audience on what are some of the things that they need to know about, specifically about mycotoxins. But in general, the media and the kind of the general public oftentimes are concerned about black mold or toxic, what they call toxic mold. How do mycotoxins fit into that? And what exactly are mycotoxins?
Well, that's a great question. And I want to start off that by just making it very clear, they are called mycotoxins and not mycotoxins. I'm Mike, and I'm a good thing, here to help and here to be a resource for people. Mycotoxins is something completely unrelated. So I have no personal relationship ties to mycotoxins or anything. In fact, they're probably my arch nemesis. But to explain what mycotoxins are a metabolite of molds. And what a metabolite is, it's a chemical byproduct of the metabolic process, which means metabolites are used to either help with digestion and energy production or protein synthesis in cells, et cetera. So it's part of growing and creating energy for an organism. Now, mycotoxins are not a primary metabolite, which means they're not produced as a part of growing, converting food into energy, cell signaling, and protein synthesis. They are a secondary metabolite, which means they are produced only when they're needed. And it's probably best described by a good friend of mine, Dr. David Strauss from Texas University, where he said that, where he described it as, mycotoxins are a biochemical warfare agent at a microscopic level that molds use to defend their territory. Once they found a nutrient-rich place to grow, they want to defend that territory against other fungal and bacterial species that might come in and try to take over that niche that they found to grow in. So we are not the target of molds. There's no mold that produces a mycotoxin that is sending out there to get us. They're sending those mycotoxins out to ward off other fungi and other bacterial invasions. We just happen to be innocent bystanders in a very potent biochemical warfare activity.
Wow. That's a great explanation, Michael. What would you say are the main issues or problems in regards to mycotoxins?
The main issue, in my opinion, with mycotoxins is the lack of understanding in much of the industry as to what mycotoxins are and then how to take care of them. A lot of remediation companies, when I talk to them about what are you going to do to take care of the mold, they give me the exact correct answer, which is, well, if you see mold growing on a porous surface to the point that it becomes visible, you've got to take that mold out. There is no spray it and forget it solution out there that's going to leave you with any type of solution you'd be happy with or healthy with in an indoor environment. The mold has to be removed. But then when I ask them, what about the potential for mycotoxin cross-contamination? What are you doing to address that? That's when the accuracy of their information starts to fall apart. I hear answers like, well, when we remove the mold, we remove the mycotoxins. And with recent research studies, that's been proven absolutely to not be correct for a number of reasons that we can go into. Another comment I often get is, well, the solutions we use to kill the mold also kills the mycotoxins. And that just on its very surface level doesn't make sense, because you can't kill something that's not alive. And mycotoxins are a byproduct of a living organism. They are not living themselves. It's a chemical component or a chemical compound. So you can't kill a chemical. The only thing you can do is either get rid of it or neutralize it, which are two of the successful strategies for dealing with mycotoxins. But again, to properly take care of a problem, you have to properly identify the problem and then know how to take care of it to correct it. And the biggest challenge with mycotoxins is people just don't understand. These are toxic chemicals. They can be cytotoxic. They can be neurologically toxic, which impairs cognitive function and causes a condition a lot of people will describe as brain fog. They can be highly carcinogenic. So they can cause a wide range of problems. But folks who say, hey, if we get out that mold colony, it will get rid of all the mycotoxins, or the folks that are out there saying, hey, if we kill the mold, it will kill the mycotoxins, that's just not accurate information given current academic research.
Right, exactly. So, Michael, we get a lot of questions in regards to mycotoxins, and we do know that there are a lot of conditions and situations that, and variables, quite frankly, that determine whether or not there are mycotoxins present, whether the type of mold present in the environment is causing mycotoxin exposure, at what level exposure is it potentially a health risk. There's a lot of unknowns, a lot of research that, quite frankly, hasn't been done yet to really answer all those questions. But we do get a few kind of misconceptions out there occasionally, and our job sometimes is in educating our clients. I'm curious, what are some of the misconceptions on mycotoxins that you're aware of and questions that you get that you have to help bridge the gap of the understanding of for mycotoxins?
A good illustration of the things we run across are recently I fielded a phone call from a indoor environmental consultant, industrial hygienist in California, and he was looking for a resource to test for mycotoxins. And in talking to him just on the side, as I was looking at the resource for him, he said, "I don't believe in mycotoxin testing." And I said, "Well, please enlighten me, share your opinion." And his view was that if you're going to properly get rid of the mold and you're going to decontaminate the environment anyway, well, then why test for something if you're just going to be taking care of it? So as we talked through the scenario, I explained to him, well, decontaminating a full structure, a 2,000 square foot home, can run in the thousands of dollars. Mycotoxin testing, however, runs in the hundreds of dollars. It's well worth that several hundred dollar investment, maybe $300 or $400, for having mycotoxins tested if, in fact, that test comes back negative, that there aren't mycotoxins. That's another big area of confusion, is that all molds are allergenic, and allergenic symptoms are those that you would expect if you were going outside on a spring day when the mountain cedar is in full bloom. You're going to have runny nose, scratchy eyes, maybe a cough and sore throat, and you might feel congested. Those aren't the symptoms we're looking at when it comes to mycotoxin and toxigenic molds. A subset of the allergenic molds, which includes all molds, are potentially toxigenic molds. Now, it's important to emphasize the word potentially, because just because a mold can produce a mycotoxin doesn't mean it has. Remember, all molds produce primary metabolites because they're a part of the metabolic process. The secondary metabolites are produced on demand as they're needed, and they're very complex, expensive molecules for the mold to create. So if the mold is living happily, undisturbed, lots of resources, the right temperature, a water source, plenty of food, the mold's not going to waste the energy to produce a biotoxin to defend its territory if that territory is not being threatened. So it's important to have mycotoxins tested to determine, has that mold, A, is it a species that's capable of producing mycotoxins? And if it is, then B, has that mold experienced conditions that caused it to create mycotoxins before we go spending thousands of dollars decontaminating a property when mycotoxins may not be the issue without a test?
So, Michael, if someone has a concern about mycotoxins and they're wanting to find out if they potentially have toxigenic mold or mycotoxins in their environment, what is the next step for those people?
Well, the very first step, Craig, is to make sure that they have a mold problem to begin with. And one controversial statement I always make that people look at me and think I'm half crazy is that mold is not the enemy. Mold is the factory that produces the enemy. The submicronic particles and primary volatile organic compounds and secondary volatile organic compounds, or the mycotoxins, are much more problematic than the mold itself. Like I said, at worst, mold is allergenic. It's when once you get into that toxigenic realm that they can really cause some serious health problems. But if you do not have a mold problem, then there is no factory to produce the mycotoxins. So the very first step, if anybody suspected that they're having environmental exposure issues due to mold and or mycotoxins, would be to contact a qualified indoor environmental testing company that is certified and licensed in mold testing, if that's applicable in their state, or at least do some very significant level of vetting to make sure that the company they do hire knows quite a bit. For example, Mold Inspection Sciences in Texas and other states is a mold inspection company, and that would be the first step to confirm whether or not you have mold, because in the absence of mold, you don't have the factory that can produce the mycotoxins. Now, once mold is identified and gotten rid of, the mycotoxins can linger long after the mold is removed, but mold has to exist first for mycotoxins to be produced. So there's no chicken or the egg question here. The mold is definitely the chicken.
Right. And that's a great,
if that makes sense.
It does. It does completely. It does. That's great. That's a good analogy. One of the other most important factors in this is that we know that in order to have mold growth, indoor mold growth, you need to have excessive moisture. You have to have a moisture source. So part of the assessment process to determine whether you have potentially a toxigenic mold or mycotoxins and any mold growth is to have a thorough visual inspection and moisture investigation of the structure to determine, are there conducive conditions to mold growth in general, regardless of what type of mold it is? Is there a moisture problem? And that's that first step in trying to assess and evaluate the overall condition of the building property in regards to the leading cause of mold, which is, again, moisture.
I was going to talk a little bit about once a consumer contacts a mold assessment consultant, and has that assessment done, which you're absolutely right. It's absolutely got to include a visual inspection for potential water damage, water intrusion. It has to include the recording of some environmental conditions to determine if there's excessive levels of humidity in the air, because mold can grow just from ambient humidity in high humid environments. Once we rule out or confirm the presence of mold, then the question is, well, is this mold potentially a mycotoxin-producing species? And again, that's something you would want to discuss with the assessment consultant, because that testing is available to speciate the mold and determine, can it produce mycotoxins? If it has been confirmed that it is a species that is capable of producing mycotoxins, then that's the logical point at which to make the decision to have mycotoxin testing done. And there are really two types of mycotoxin testing that can be performed. There's clinical level testing that can measure the level of mycotoxins in your body, and then there's environmental testing. And there's a number of providers that can provide clinical and or environmental testing, and the best advice is to find a very capable and competent mold assessment consultant, and then find a very competent and capable medical practitioner if you're suffering from any symptoms that seem beyond normal allergic type responses. If when you're in your home, you experience sudden bouts of chronic fatigue, exhaustion, inability to concentrate, short-term memory loss, dizziness, headaches, nerve tinglings, and those symptoms seem to subside when you leave the residence for any period of time, then it might be a good idea, if you've had a known mold problem or a known water damage problem, then to ask your mold assessment consultant and or an environmental or functional medical doctor what the logical options are for mycotoxin testing to confirm whether or not you've been exposed.
Right, exactly. That's great advice.
So just to summarize, if a person is feeling ill or not right in their home environment, which the home environment should be one of the safest places you can be for your body to heal and not be bombarded with toxins, because that's where we sleep, we rest, we recover. We spend a lot of times in our homes. And if any time you're feeling different in your home in a negative way than you feel when you go on vacation or you go out for, you know, if you're out of the house for a couple hours and you feel symptomatically better, then that's a great time to start doing some investigations to find out what the problem is. So the first step there would be, if you have any knowledge of past water damages, water intrusions, or any suspicion that you might have mold, then contact a licensed mold assessment consultant like Mold Inspection Sciences and have them come out and first identify if you have a mold problem or not. Once they have determined whether or not there is mold or is not mold, which they can do through visual inspection, through using other analytical tools in the field, and then finally with laboratory testing, the question is, are the symptoms and conditions that you're experiencing consistent with mycotoxin exposure or a toxic exposure versus just an allergenic response? If you're just having allergy-like symptoms, it might be a reasonable course of action just to say, hey, let's take care of the mold and get rid of the allergic stimulant that's causing me to feel this way. But if you're feeling other things like chronic fatigue, restlessness, there's a whole host of symptomatic responses the body can have to toxic exposure that are non-allergenic. Then at that point, it'd be a good time to have a conversation with your mold assessment consultant about having that mold speciated to find out whether or not there's a species of mold in the environment that can produce mycotoxins. And if that test comes back positive, the next step might be to go ahead and test the environment for mycotoxins to confirm whether or not you've got them. The importance of this can best be summed up by a story I had occur a couple years ago. I was actually out at a non-sponsored call, so I'm not receiving any monetary feedback for this, but I was out at a cheesecake factory at happy hour, enjoying some time with my partner at the time. And I got a phone call and a lady said, are you available to come out immediately tomorrow? And this was on a Wednesday night. I wasn't available until Friday. And she said, okay, never mind. I'll call you back if I need you. And so I just chalked it up to she'll get someone else to help her. My schedule was booked, unfortunately. Friday evening, I get a panicked call. And she said, Mike, I need you to come out here immediately. I recognized her voice and said, what's going on? And she said, well, I called in another company to take a look at the spot I was going to ask you to look at. And they have told me it's definitely mold, that my entire house is contaminated with mycotoxins. And they had me sign a contract for $26,000 for them to decontaminate my entire house. I told her that Texas has laws that allow you to have buyer's remorse on a contract for up to 48 to 72 hours, I believe. Tell them to leave, not do anything, and you will contact them on Monday, and I'm on my way. So when I got to her house, she did have a small mold problem on an attic wall that was about the size of a coffee saucer, about maybe 6 inches in diameter, and there was a little bit of mold in her air conditioning system. I told her that I would give her a fair estimate for remediating that mold, but as a requirement, she must hire an independent mold assessment consultant to confirm that it's mold before I'll agree to do anything. And if she believes she has mycotoxins, she must pay to have it independently tested and verified. So she paid the mold assessor to come out. It did come back as a mold species that could produce mycotoxins. She had the mycotoxin testing performed and it came back negative. My estimate for remediating the two small areas was under $1,500 compared to $26,000 that she had signed up for on a contract. And when we finished the work and she got a clean bill in her health, she hugged my neck and said, "Mike, you saved my kids' college fund because we didn't have the $26,000. Wow. We were going to cash in my kids' education." So that's why I'm in this, is to help people to take the right steps, hire the right professionals to keep from being taken advantage of by what's unfortunately still out there, which is nefarious, vulturistic business practices from people who are more interested in making money than they are in helping people.
That's a great story, Mike. Thanks for sharing that. While I'm sitting here listening to you, we all kind of got in this industry for the same reasons. And as you just mentioned right there, it's to help people. And it reminds me of one of the things you were speaking about, reminded me of a job that you and I walked together just recently, actually. You guys are still on the job. It was with, you know, we won't mention any names, but we're with the gentleman with the two small children. And just to give you guys a little bit of background, they purchased a home in Dallas and they were having some issues with their children's skin, their speech, and their cognitive ability when they were inside the house and could not figure out for a long period of time what was actually happening. And I saw some of the photos and actually saw some of the videos of the kids and their change in behavior, the rashes they were getting that were just unexplained. And when you initially had talked about it, you said if you knew you had a previous water intrusion issue, and if I recall correctly on this one, Mike, and you can elaborate a little bit as much as you can, this property didn't have any known previous water intrusion issues. And it was actually something that was going on in the foundation that you guys ended up uncovering. Do you want to touch base a little bit on that and tell that story, how you guys helped them? I mean, actually, it was life altering for those children. I think it was a great story. So can you elaborate a little bit on that story?
Yeah, that is a great case study of a story. The children developed extreme dermatological reaction, rashes, severe rashes, looked like just super, almost infected poison ivy type lesions down their body. One of the children developed hand tremors. And then, of course, both the children were being evaluated for the thought that they may have learning disabilities because of their performance in school and their ability to concentrate and learn at the pace that they should be able to was being impaired. So it's important to understand the severity of the impact of mycotoxins and what that can have. Mycotoxins were researched by governments and militaries for being exploited for bioterrorism and biochemical agents in warfare. Now, fortunately, to my knowledge, trichothecines have not been developed or been able to be synthesized to that point, but they can produce reactions that are severe enough that governments would consider them a potential bioterror or biochemical warfare threat. And it doesn't take much exposure. In this particular home, they had a latent mold problem that had existed for a long time undetected. So they weren't getting hit with a lot of mold. They were getting hit with a small amount of mold, but over a long period of time. And again, it really wasn't the mold at all. It was the mycotoxins in that mold. The set of symptoms that can be experienced are very broad, and some of them can be very severe. So the fact is, once you determine that you have a condition and you experience it when you're in your home, versus when you're away from your home, that just doesn't seem right. It's important to get the knowledge and the testing done by professionals. Again, a qualified environmental consulting company like Mold Inspection Sciences for the mold and mycotoxin portion, and then an environmental and functional medical doctor to test your clinical body. We have had cases in the past where a person had their home environment treated, had it tested, did everything by the books and correct, and was not getting better. And we narrowed it down by saying, hey, you have to have a contributing source somewhere that we haven't identified. So they actually took some test samples from their office, and they were being exposed by the same mycotoxin both in their office and at their home. And just correcting one of them wouldn't have fixed their problem. Any company that dissuades you from testing and says, oh, when we take care of the mold, it'll take care of that. You don't have to test for that. Taking care of the problem is much more costly than testing for the problem if the problem doesn't exist. So it's always better to have that knowledge that we did test for it, we did find out it's here before you sign up for something that's absolutely unneeded and not necessary done into the, you know, to the environment of your home because the problem just doesn't exist, or in many cases when the problem is something other than mycotoxins.
Great. Thanks for sharing that story with us, Mike. It was an honor of mine to be able to go up there and meet those gentlemen with you and hear about their story. And just so satisfying for me and for you guys to hear that the end result was that their children were actually recovering, their dermatological issues were recovering, and their cognitive issues were going away. And just to see the relief in their eyes in person that you guys had helped to not only uncover, but to remediate that issue, just so satisfying. So thanks for sharing that with us.
You bet, Mike. And it just goes towards hitting home the point that we always share with folks, that if you don't remove the underlying source of your exposure issue, you can go to the doctor and take as much medicine and go through as many treatments as you want. But if you continue to re-expose yourself to that toxic environment, you're just catching yourself in an endless cycle of exposure, symptomology, treatment, and then going back for more exposure. That's why our process at IQM always starts with verifying what the problem is, properly identify what your exposure issue is. And that's why we are a big proponent of testing versus spending money on fixing a problem that might not be there. There's a number of steps people could take to be healthy at home. And the number one step on the list is remove the source of the exposure. It's absolutely critical because without it, people just aren't going to get healthy. The other thing I like to share with people all the time is that there are plenty of companies out there that want to sell products and services. And I suppose that's why companies start up, is to sell products and services. At IQM, we say we do not want to sell products and services. We want to sell solutions. And that's why testing and identifying what that problem is the first most critical step before you go into corrective measures and/or preventative measures. At IQM, I have the freedom and have been able to shock people in the past by telling them, no, I'm not going to perform what you're asking me to do. And it's because with the data I had, I knew that it likely would not solve their problem. And providing a service to a customer that doesn't need the service and it's not going to fix their problem just puts our professional credibility and reputation at risk. So in another recent case, we had a lady with three children in high school and her husband, and she had become so sensitized to the mold, she could not live in the house or drive the cars. And they had been separated for 3 months by the time they contacted IAQM and had their home professionally remediated and treated by 2 to 3 other companies unsuccessfully. So when we came in, we recommended another level of testing. Let's collect some more data, find out what the real problem is. We gave her a proposal based on those test results. So she said, I want you to do it all. I want you to do my cars and my home. I want to get back home. This is destroying my marriage. I can't be with my husband. I can't see my children. I'm living at a lake house. It was really just having a severe impact on their marriage. She said, I want it done to everything. And it was a substantial level of activity. And I said, well, respectfully, I cannot agree to do that for you. And she said, well, why not? I said, because I don't want to run the risk of selling a service or a product that will not fix your problem. So what I will agree to do is we will treat one car. Pick the car that you react to most extremely in, and I will treat that one car. And then if you can get in and drive that car for 20 minutes without having a reaction, then I'll agree to do the rest of your home and your other cars. But I want to make sure what we're going to do works and works for you. So we treated the car. She drove it for 20 minutes, got out ecstatic. She hadn't been able to drive her cars in months. And then within 2 weeks, we had her back in the home. The most gratifying and satisfying part of what we do is when you know you've gone to a point where you've helped someone's marriage or you've helped them stay in their home or you've helped them keep their possessions instead of having to throw everything away and go through financial hardship of buying a bunch of new clothing and furniture. When you can really help them at a level that changes the impact of their or the course of their lives, like being able to save that college fund for that little girl, that should be what every company is in this for.
Wow, those are such powerful stories, Michael. I tell you, I think anybody and everybody in our audience right now is really thinking to themselves that number one, this is complex, but number two, it is critically important to make sure they align themselves with the right professionals and do the testing that's needed and get all the answers and all the data up front before they make that life-altering decision on and financially crippling decision in some cases, like you described, on how to proceed with getting them back into a healthy home. So thank you so much for those stories. Well, Michael, this is the part of our show where we like to get to know a little bit more about your company.
Well, to you, one thing that differentiates, I think, IAQM is that Don Verana and Katie, who founded the company almost 20 years ago, were one of the first victims of toxic mold exposure. A lot of people in the mold industry have heard of the big mold case that hit the news in the early 2000s. It was a lady by the name of Belinda Ballard out of Dripping Springs, Texas. There was actually a case just before that in a place called Saratoga Springs in Addison, which is a condominium complex. And Don and Verena were the occupants of the first diagnosed environmental exposure issue to mycotoxins and trichophyces, and it significantly impacted their health catastrophically to the point that it became seriously a life or death situation due to oppressed immune system function. So at that point, they were not even in the industry, and it severely impacted their children. It severely impacted them, and they dedicated their lives from that point forward to helping other people not have to go through what they went through. Most of the listeners, if they have experienced environmental exposure issues or have become sensitized, they have gone from doctor to doctor to doctor to finally wind up at a psychiatrist trying to convince them that it's all in their heads. Well, that's due to the lack of knowledge about mycotoxins and neurotoxicity and how it can disrupt almost every major system in the human body. So the struggle is real. It's not a psychosomatic illness. It is a very real environmental condition. And at IAQM, we understand that because we've lived through it.
Wow. Those are some of the most compelling stories when you have a business owner who experienced something so impactful in their life that it actually led them to go into specializing in an industry to help other people so they can potentially avoid that. So that's amazing. That's a great story. Well, thank you, Michael, for all of your valuable information today. I know we've just touched on the surface of this. There's a lot more we could certainly discuss. And, you know, we'd really love to have you on the show again sometime to continue this discussion.
Hey, I really appreciate it. I look forward to coming back sometime. And where do I send my invoice?
To Mike Marshall at Mold Inspection Sciences, Texas.
Wish me luck with that. No, I'm happy to be here anytime to answer questions for folks out there. I know information is abundant in this day and age, and there's a lot of misinformation out there. I laud you guys on your efforts here to share accurate, real information and help people move in the right direction to help make their lives better.
Absolutely. And Mike Marshall, thank you so much for co-hosting with me again today. It's been a pleasure. You're very much a compliment to this show, and appreciate all of your insight and your stories. And thank you so much for taking the time today.
Well, I really appreciate that. It's my pleasure to come on to the show and spend some time with you guys. And people have always told me that I have a voice for television and a face for podcasts. So I think I've finally found my niche.
He's a funny guy. Thanks again, gentlemen. Appreciate it, and have a great day. Stay safe, and I can't wait to share more information with you next time. Bye for now. Thank you for joining me today for this episode of the Secret Life of Mold podcast. If you need help with mold issues in your home or office, we'd love to help. For our Texas location, please call 888-335-MOLD. That's 888-335-6653. Or email contact@moldtx.com. For our locations other than Texas, reach out to our customer care team at 800-619-MOLD. That's 800-619-6653. Or email us at contact@moldsci.com.